Sins take you away from Allah. Salah takes you back to Allah. Leave the sins, perform your salah. Salah is the gift of Mi'raj. Salah is the gift of Mi'raj.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya wal Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Raheem. My dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, we once again welcome you in our program, The Gift of Mi'raj, Salah. Today, inshallah, we'll be talking about consequences of missing Salah. Be with us from start to end, inshallah, immense amount of knowledge you'll be learning. Before we proceed towards our topic of the day, let's make few good intentions. My Shaykh Tariqat, Amir of Ahle Sunnah, Lamad Barakatum Al-Aliyah, always reminds us to make good intentions because innamal a'malu binniyat. Actions are based upon intentions. I make this intention, I will present this program for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can make this intention, you'll be with us from start to end, you'll remember what you learn, act upon, and pass this knowledge onto others too. And remember, the more intentions one makes for a particular task or good deed, the higher the reward he can attain. We can easily multiply our reward for adding as many good intentions as possible. Alhamdulillah, today joins me Muballigh of Dawat Islami, Muhammad Waqas Attari. Let's go towards him. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
MashaAllah Waqas, how are you?
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. How are you, Zubayr? Okay.
I'm good too. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Ala kulli hal. Waqas, in previous episodes, we discussed a few topics regarding Salah. And today we'll be talking about consequences of missing Salah. First of all, what Quran guides us with regards to this very topic?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Raheem. As well, there are many ayahs of the Quran and ahadith of the Beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about Salah and the consequences of missing Salah. First ayah which I'd like to mention is Surah Al-Muddathir, ayah 42 to 43, translation from Kanzul Iman. What took you into the hell? They said, we never used to offer prayer.
Allah.
So one of the reasons for people who go into hell will be they will not offer prayer. Another ayah of the Quran, Allah has mentioned in Surah Munafiqun, ayah number 9, translation from Kanzul Iman. O people who believe, may not your wealth or your children cause you to neglect the remembrance of Allah Azzawajal, and whoever does this, so it is they who are in a loss. The reason why many of us miss our salah today is that because we are too busy in our worldly affairs, with our children, with our wealth, with our families, with our wives, with our jobs, with our businesses. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam said, the first deed for which a bondsman will be called to account on the Day of Judgment is the his salah.
Allah.
The first question you will ask on the Day of Judgment is salah. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam further states, if his salah is correct, he will attain salvation and success. But if there is a defect in it, then he will be disgraced and destroyed.
Allah.
So the first step of the ladder, you can say on the Day of Judgment, the first question will be what? Salah. So Salah is a pillar of Islam. And the pillar foundation that we must act upon and we must implement in our daily lives.
Do you ask me the ayah you just read? Okay. There's some detail in this. It has been mentioned by Sayyidina Imam Muhammad bin Ahmad Zahabi, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, narrates that some honorable scholars, rahimahumullah, say that the one who abandons Salah will be resurrected with Pharaoh, Qarun, Haman and Ubay bin Khalf on the Day of Judgment, because people usually abandon Salah due to wealth, rule, ministry and trade. These are the normally main reasons why people miss Salah. The one who abandons his Salah due to being occupied with state affairs will be resurrected with Pharaoh. The one who abandons his Salah owing to his wealth will be resurrected with Qarun. If the reason of abandoning Salah is ministry, he'll be resurrected with Pharaoh's minister, Haman. And if the reason of abandoning Salah is busyness in trade, he will be resurrected with Ubay bin Khalf, the head trader of the unbelievers in Makkatul Mukarramah.
Allahu Akbar. As well, many people, you know, the points you have mentioned, they're the reasons why people miss Salah today. And you see, Allah has blessed many people with wealth, family, children. But these things, as the ayah of the Quran mentions, should not stop us from remembering Allah Azza wa Jal.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
But this, unfortunately, we have forgotten the creator and the giver of these ni'mas and these blessings.
Sure.
And we're concentrating on the blessings itself. We must make sure that these things don't stop us from doing the ibadat and reading salah. Another beautiful hadith has been mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah has made 5 salah obligatory for the bondsman. The one who offers them and does not waste any of them, considering their right to be ordinary, so there is a promise for him from the mercy of Allah Pak that He Azza wa Jal will make them enter into paradise. And the one who does not offer them, so for him there is no promise from the mercy of Allah, and it is up to him whether He torments him or makes him enter paradise.
Allah.
So the mercy of Allah, the rahmah of Allah, if you want this, salah. You know, all the blessings, as I mentioned, the foundation and the pillar of one of the pillars of Islam is what? Salah. So it's a gift of Mi'raj, which is the name of our silsila today, the gift of Mi'raj. This is the gift. You must appreciate this gift and act upon it.
Because we're talking about the ayahs of Quran, one beautiful ayah is before me, I would like to share with viewers of Melanie Chen. Part 30, Suratul Ma'un, verse number 4 and 5. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Fawailun lil musallin, Alladhina hum an salatihim sahun. So ruin is to those offerers of prayer, those who are neglectful of their prayer. Respectfully, in Tafsir Siratul Jinan, under the verse I've just recited, it is mentioned, what does negligence mean? It is mentioned, the one who does not offer salah regularly, it means he is neglectful. The one who does not offer salah on time, he is also neglectful. The one who misses fara'id in wajibat and he doesn't offer salah according to the prescribed way of doing it with fara'id and wajibat. And the one who misses jama'at, congregation, without valid shari'i excuse, valid Islamic reason. And further it is mentioned, the one who misses salah while he is alone and offers salah in front of people. These are the few forms which will come under negligence, and they will come under this wa'id of Quran. Right, and further it is mentioned that if a person is not offering salah with enthusiasm, if a person doesn't offer with focus, they are also included in ghaflat, they are also included in negligence, but they are not under the wa'id of this very ayah. So this tells us that if we are negligent, ma'awallah, or not, we can understand in which category do we
fall. Many of the categories you mentioned, a lot of people fall under this today. Sure. You know?
Not offering fara'id, wajibat properly.
Today, unfortunately, we take salah very lightly. You know, yes. We don't give salah the importance it should have. As we mentioned in hadith that the Prophet said, the one who misses salah will meet Allah Azza wa Jalla in the state that he will have a wrath upon him.
Allah
Azza wa Jalla will be angry with him. You know, when somebody is angry in the dunya, you know, how much uncomfortable we are, that this person uncomfortable is angry at me. Can you imagine Allah Azza wa Jalla being angry with us? It's been mentioned, the one who misses salah, his name is written on the door of hell, which will go through.
Allah.
We miss, days go past, weeks go past, months go past, years go past, we don't read salah.
Because we normally we write nameplate on top of the, see, in front of our door. Can you imagine that house belongs to us, that's why our nameplate is written? Without any example which suits best, but just to explain that, ma'adallah, astaghfirullah, if our name is written on the door of the hell, what does that mean? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us that we enter into Jahannam. Allahumma ajirna minan nar. Ameen. Bijahin nabiyil ameen. Today we're talking about consequences of missing salah. Waqasbi, there are certain consequences which a person will experience in dunya, certain consequences he will experience inside the grave, and certain he will experience on the day of judgment, which has been mentioned in a hadith. Could you please mention that, please?
As one by 15 punishments have been mentioned for the one who misses salah.
Allah.
6 are in his life, 3 at the time of death while he's dying, 3 in the grave, and 3 on the day of judgment. So from this you can see that it's not just in the dunya or in the akhirah, it's at every stage that we are in or we go to come in the future, we'll be punished. Firstly, the 6 in the dunya. Number 1, Allah Azza wa Jalla takes away blessings from his age. He makes his life unfortunate. Number 2, Allah does not accept his du'as.
Allah.
Subhanallah. Can you imagine that we've been doing du'a day and night? Allah, give me this. Allah, I want Jannah. I want this. We're missing our
And then
salah.
we start complaining also sometimes that my dua has not been accepted. Have you ever thought that how many salah do I read daily?
SubhanAllah, what could be the cause of our salah, dua not being accepted? Number three, Allah erases the features of good people from His face.
Allahu
Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Number four, He will be detested by all creatures on the earth.
Allah.
Number five, Allah Azza wa Jal does not reward him for his good deeds. Number six, he will not be included in the du'as of good people. So that was six in the dunya. Three at the time of death, while you are dying.
Allah.
Number one, he dies humiliated.
Oh.
Number two, he dies hungry. And number three, he dies thirsty. Even if he drinks all of the waters in the rivers of the world, he'll die thirsty. So that was six in life, three in at the time of death. Now let's go to the next step. After death, what happens? In the grave. Three in the grave. Allah Azza wa Jalla tightens his grave until his chest ribs come into each other.
Allah
pours on him fires with amber. His grave is filled with fire. Missing salah. We can't bear a matchstick today, a cooker today, you know, a cigarette lighter. We can't, if we touch it, we burn.
Allah.
The fire in the grave which will come upon us. Allahu Akbar. And number three in the grave, Allah Azza wa Jalla sets upon him a snake called the brave, the bold snake, which hits him in the afternoon for missing Fajr Salah, which hits him again for missing Asr Salah. Every Salah he missed, it will hit him. And what happens every time he hits him? He will go 70 yards further into the ground.
Allah.
Can you see these punishments? And we still take Salah lightly? And we still don't read our Salah? Allahu Akbar, the next step, the Day of Judgment, the Day of Account for us. Three punishments on the Day of Judgment. Number one, Allah Azza wa Jalla sends angels who accompany him to hell, pulling him by the face. Number two, Allah Azza wa Jalla gives him an angry look that makes the flesh fall off his body.
Allah.
And number three, Allah judges him strictly and orders for him to be thrown into hell. 15 punishments. We should never ever take our salah lightly. You know? And again, as always, we mention many ayahs of the Quran, many hadiths, many sayings, many accounts of missing salah. But just these 15, if we take, you know, and we.
Just say, one is not bearable.
SubhanAllah, one, as I said, we can't bear one punishment of the grave. We can't bear the fire of the dunya. That fire which is much more severe.
Allah.
Do we think we can take that?
Qasmi, when you're talking about Jahannam, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Respect views of Madani Shah. Do you know what is the lightest punishment of Jahannam, hellfire? A person will be made to wear shoes made of fire.
Allah.
And when he'll be given fire shoes, what will happen, respect views of Madani Shah? His mind will boil like water boils in a kettle. Allahu Akbar. Can we ever bear that lightest punishment of Jahannam? If not, then make tawbah today. Repent in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is all forgiving. He is all merciful. He'll accept our repentance, inshallah. Whatever has happened, has happened. Make tawbah in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And regret for whatever has happened in the past. And say, Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, from now onwards, I will not miss single salah, inshallah. And I'll make up all my missed salah, inshallah. I'll offer all the qada salah, inshallah.
Somebody came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is the best deed? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Salah.
Subhanallah.
He said, Ya Rasulullah, again, what's the best deed? Salah. Three times he asked the question, and each time the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Salah is the best deed. So can you see the importance of salah in our religion? The difference between the Muslims and the unbelievers is what? Salah. So we need to make sure we implement this in our lives. There are many ahadiths and ayahs of the Quran, as you mentioned, about missing salah. So it's also mentioned in Surah Maryam, verse number 59. Translation from Qalbul Iman. And after them came the unworthy successors who squandered prayer and pursued their own desires. So they will soon encounter the jungle of Ghay in hell. There's another valley in hell called Ghay. Has been mentioned, meaning the valley of hell. Mufti Amjad Ali Azmi rahmatullah has said, Ghay is a valley in hell which is the hottest and deepest of all.
Allahu Akbar.
It has a well named Habhab. Within this valley, there's a well called Habhab, When the fire of hell is about to put out, Allah Azza wa Jalla opens this well, due to which the fire of hell intensifies. Allah Azza wa Jalla has said, whenever it's about to extinguish, we will inflame it more for them. He further states, this well is for those who abandon Salah. So the hottest part in Jahannam, for who? Those who abandon Salah. And for the fornicators and drunkards and usurers and those who hurt their parents.
No doubt, absolutely. Respect the views of Madani Channel. One thing is very much clear. Then there are two friends. They're going out and one says, brother, I have to offer Salah. Let's go pray. The other says, sorry, I can't go in masjid right now because I don't feel like maybe my clothes are not clean or whatever excuse he makes. And other person, he enters, makes wudu, offers Salah and comes back. Do you think that that person who did not enter into masjid, he did not enter because of his own reason? No. He was not invited. He was not given the ability to come, to enter into masjid. It is simple. Nobody can enter in my house without my permission. If I am the owner, it is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who invites, gives tawfiq and ability to the person. So if you are not being given the ability to offer salah, you should think about yourself. May it not happen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is displeased with me. You should think about it. Seek forgiveness in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, why am I not getting the ability to offer salah? Why am I not getting the ability to enter into masjid even for Salatul Jumu'ah? I'm not given the ability. This is what something we need to reflect upon. We need to think about.
Zohar Bhai, it's been mentioned in Fatawa Razawiyah, the one who deliberately abandons even one salah deserves to be thrown into hell for thousands of years until he repents for it and makes qaza.
Allah.
Thousands of years for missing one salah. Where are we today? Where is our priorities today? You know, on the Day of Judgment, who will ask compensation against us in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal? Would it be our enemies, our neighbors, our colleagues? No. We mentioned that the wife and children of a man will come and say, Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, we want compensation from this person.
Allah.
He will think to himself, I give you a house, car, education, food, money. What do you want compensation for? It will be said, Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, he used to feed us haram and we never knew about it, and he never taught us the deen. Salah is part of the deen. So if you don't teach your children Salah, this is what will happen tomorrow. What will happen? This man, he will have mountains of good deeds. These deeds will be taken and given as compensation to his wife and children.
Allah.
Then what will happen is that this mountain will finish. Compensation will still be due, still be outstanding. Their sins will be taken and given to him. Here you go, take the sins as compensation. And the man will be thrown into hell. Why? He never taught his children deen. He never taught his children salah. Today we think it's the imam sahab. I send my child to the masjid for 1 hour. It's imam sahab who teach him everything. It's not the imam sahab's job. That you won't be able to say on the Day of Judgment, Ya Allah, I sent my child to the masjid for 1 hour. Why didn't the imam sahab teach him? If you are sending your child for 1 hour to the masjid, to a madrasa, how much time is your child getting there? One-to-one time? 5 minutes? How many, normally you have 30, 40, 50 kids in a madrasa. You're lucky if you get 5 minutes time. So you want, within that 5 minutes, Imam Sahib teach your child salah, teach him all the, how to read Quran, how to do tajweed, how to teach him sunnah, manners, etiquette, everything. And what are you going to do? Sit at home and do nothing. So we must make sure that we teach our children salah.
Because our mindset is so materialistic that if our child is going to school, every day we ask, we practice what has he learned there, right? What did teacher teach you? What did you learn about maths, English, science, whatever subjects he's studying there? We ask. We remain concerned. We go, we do parents' evenings. We find out the progress of our child. But how many times we have asked our child whether he has read all 5 daily prayers or not? Whether he offered Salatul Isha or not? Did we ever tell off? Did we ever tell him strictly that you should not miss your salah, the way we discipline our child in terms of dunya?
But how can we tell a child if we're not doing it ourselves? You know, if you smoke and you say to your son, better don't smoke, what's he going to do? Dad, you're doing it, why can't I do it? If you're watching films and dramas on the TV, better don't watch films and dramas. So if you're doing it yourself, you're telling me what to do. If you are reading salah, you won't need to tell your child to read salah. You know, you get on the prayer mat and you start praying. You see a 2-3 year old child come next to you and start to pray automatically. But if you are missing days and weeks and months of salah, don't expect your child to read salah. You know, today we see people resolved by that can't even read their own father's funeral salah. Yeah, the masjids are empty today. Yeah, we don't go into the masjids and we expect tomorrow our children will become a hafiz and alim adin. It's not going to happen.
Mother, she inquired the question from an alim adin, a scholar, that how can I wake up my child in the morning? I find it hard to wake him up for Salat al-Fajr. What a beautiful answer he gave. He said, let's suppose if there's a fire at home and you know that your child is in his room, what will you do? She replied, I'll make all possible efforts to get my child out of that room, whatever way possible. Even if I had to drag him, I'll do that. He said, this is the fire of dunya. And that's how you would behave. That's how you would treat your child. Even you have to drag him, you will get out of, protect from the fire of this dunya. What about the fire of hell? Why you're not thinking? Why you're not protecting? This is our understanding. If a little child goes near any socket, we go and rush and protect because maybe electricity may hurt. If any child has got a knife, we go and grab that. We take it away from him because he doesn't know. He may harm himself. But this mindset is not in terms of protecting our children from the fire of hell, whose fuel is stone and men.
Allahu Akbar. As well, but you know, today we complain, I've got this problem, my family problem, my children problem, my business problem. When you ask that person, brother, do you read Salah? No, I can't read Salah. Fajr's too early nowadays, I can't read Salah. What do you expect to come into that house apart from troubles and tribulations and issues and arguments and problems when at the time of Fajr everybody's asleep? At the time of Zuhr we're involved in business. The time of Asr we're picking our children up. The time of Maghrib, we are watching TV and films and dramas. And at the time of Isha, we're in bed. So you expect the happiness to come into that house? Allah. When the Quran is not read for days and weeks and months, happiness will come into that house? Or will it be tribals and tribulations? Of course, that's what you... Whatever seed you sow, that's the flower you'll get. That's the fruit you'll get.
True.
If you sow the seeds of this without praying Salah, that's the what you'll get tomorrow, the flower. And same with your children. From a very young age, teach them love for Salah. You know, in this whole series, we're talking about the Salah, the blessings of Salah. We teach them about maths is very important, you know, to go get a good education. You'll get a good job. You know, you'll be successful. Why? You'll get money. You'll be successful.
Mm-hmm.
Have we taught them that these are the blessings of Salah?
One more point, Fakaz Bhai here would like to add. Like today, we are talking about consequences of missing Salah. Maybe viewers watching right now, they could think, whenever we hear programs, right, most of the time, preachers and Islamic scholars, they just scare us. They talk about Jahannam, they talk about Hellfire. They're just talking about this. They don't talk about Rahmah. They don't talk about mercy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're always scaring us. Yes, my dear Islamic brothers and sisters watching me, if only we get scared. We don't get scared. Yes, we are scaring you from the punishment. But we don't scare. This is what Niyani Shura has answered. It's beautifully. He said,
Allah.
I want you to scare. Nowadays, people, they don't scare. My dear Islamic brothers, when it comes to talk about Rahmah, the blessings, let me tell you, we did four programs. The very first was about the rewards and benefits of offering Salah. We talked about many different aspects of Salah. And today we are talking about, because it's also important, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also created Jahannam. If one of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rahman and Rahim, at the same time there is another attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being Qahhar and Jabbar. We need to have that fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts. Tomorrow we have to go and present ourselves before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll be held accountable. We need to have the fear of that Jahannam which has been prepared for those who disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from disbelief. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us proper Muslims with Iman. When we live with Iman, when we die with Iman, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us. But this salah, when you offer, you get closer to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you miss, you get closer to the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what we need to decide, what we want to do. Do we want to get closer to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or to the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Offer salah, get closer to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and don't miss salah. Respected views of Padanishal, there is an account which is mentioned in Mukashifatul Qulub, a book written by Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, that a person's sister, she died. When burial happened, the wallet that was left inside the grave, definitely there was money inside. So when they went to get that out from that grave, what was seen, that sister's grave was filled with fire.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar. And they put the mud on and saddened returned home and asked from mother, "Oh mom, how were the acts of my sister?" The mother replied, "Why are you asking?" He said, "I've seen fire in the grave of my sister," the brother said. After hearing this, mother also started crying and said, "Alas, your sister was lazy in offering salah. And she used to offer salah after the time had passed. She would do this deliberately." Respect you, Yusuf Madani Shannon. Now again, this account tells us a person who was lazy in offering salah. That girl, she used to offer salah, but she would miss salah and then she would make it qada. This was the condition that she had fire in her grave. Now what would be the condition of those that do not offer salah at first place? They don't even offer salah. Allahu Akbar. Some that don't offer 5 daily prayers. Some that don't offer salat al-Jummah. Some that don't even offer salat al-Eid. Allahu Akbar. We are Muslims. We believe in Allah. We believe in the Prophet. We believe life after death. Let's repent. Let's make tawbah. Let's pray that our grave becomes one of the gardens of Jannah and not one of the ditches of hell. Ameen.
Zomba, you just mentioned about the grave and the fire in the grave. You know, in the dunya, when it gets too cold, we need to have the heating on.
Yeah.
When it gets too hot, we need the fans or the air conditioning on. You know, we can't bear a little bit extra heat or a little bit extra cold. Yeah. You know, when the water is a bit too hot, we're having a bath or a shower, it has to be the perfect temperature. When we wash our hands, it can't be too hot, to be too cold. How can we bear that fire in the grave?
Allah.
You know, we can't bear the heat of the sun. When it's a very hot day today, we can't bear it. We have to stay inside, put air conditioning on, you know, change our clothes to lighter clothes. How can we bear that fire in the grave on the day of judgment, when people will be drowning in their sweats? Why? Just for missing salah. Today people miss salah for many reasons. One is because of their jobs. They say, "Oh, you know, people will be looking at me. How can I read salah? What's my boss going to say?" You know. So, firstly, how is it to even do that job to where you cannot pray your salah? The scholars have mentioned that you should not do that job and you should find an alternative job where you can read your salah. Just because of people, somebody's going to be looking at me. Sometimes you actually have permission, you're allowed.
Yeah.
But you're too shy yourself. Sure. Yeah, they're looking at me. I'm not going to read salah. You know what people are going to say? Forget what people are going to say. What is Allah and His beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam going to say? That's what we need
people
to think.
People don't shy sinning.
SubhanAllah, we sin openly. Yeah. You know, we watch films and dramas in front of the family,
yeah,
with music and
hot,
naked ladies on.
Whatever.
We watch all that, right? Yeah. And we don't feel ashamed. But when we read salah, we feel ashamed. That is one of the ways, beautiful ways to give dawah to Islam.
Mm-hmm.
That look, in the middle of the day, while this guy's at work, he's praying to his Lord. What a beautiful thing he's doing.
You can find ways. If there is a break time, you can manage your break times and then you can offer salah. The one, when there is a will, there is a way.
There are more situations you can read salah,
yeah,
than when you can't read salah. It's more in our head.
True.
We think,
true,
ourselves, I can't read salah here. I'm traveling, I can't read salah.
Mm-hmm.
Park up on the motorway, and on the service stations and go read your salah.
True.
Yeah, park on a petrol station, read salah.
People, they plan, those they have got a sensitive mind, they plan their journey that what times salah will come and how will I offer.
So we need to make sure we do that job where salah is permissible for us to read, where we can read from our managers, we're allowed to read, and it's easy for us to read our salah. Otherwise, there's many jobs out there. Allah is the provider of risk. Risk has been guaranteed for us.
True.
Nobody can take our risk. So make sure we read salah at work. There's also some people who, you know, I was speaking to somebody the other day and he said to me, you know, when I'm working, I find it easier to read salah than my home. Because, you know, when they're in the environment of Muslims, it's easy. Come on, you read namaz, brother, you read namaz, well, yeah. I read it. But when I'm home alone, I find it difficult to read salah. Can you see the difference? When you're working with Muslims and you're working with good people, they encourage you to read salah.
True.
So that's what we should have, such a working environment where we read our salah. And it's easy for people encourage us to read salah, not we feel ashamed and shy to read our salah.
What message would you give to those businessmen, those that have got authority? Allow their employees to offer salah, and they themselves should offer salah.
I would encourage people to have a break at a certain time, for example, Zohr salah, when it's lunchtime. Normally people have 45 minutes, half an hour lunch break. In there, everybody stops work, have your lunch, read your salah by Jamaat, have a short little 5-7 minute dars. Can you imagine how much barakah will be in that business? That everybody has stopped to read salah. You try it. Those who are business owners, they should try it.
Yeah.
Take a break. Okay, everybody, stop your work. Yeah, they stop for lunch.
Yeah.
They stop for tea breaks. They stop for other breaks to have. They stop to talk to other people about their business. Stop for half an
Some
hour.
Some even stop for a cigarette. Go out.
That's very common today.
Yeah.
You know, in the UK, you have to either cigarette break. Okay, you're allowed. So you
they go to a specific area.
They've been designated areas. Designated. Smoking shelters outside to be made. But as I said, even if there's no prayer area designated, in your office, in your workplace, there's a corner anyway.
Yeah.
If not, at least go in the car park and pray. No one's going to stop you.
Yeah.
No one will stop you from reading Salah. Alhamdulillah, especially in the UK and Europe. In the UK, I know definitely, Alhamdulillah, it's very easy to pray our Salah.
True.
But it's all about conquering the mind first.
True.
Conquer your own mind before you think others will conquer your mind.
Absolutely.
You will see the blessings in this. It's been mentioned, the Prophet said, people must cease to neglect the Jummah Salah. Must cease to neglect it. Like, I stop neglecting it. Carry on going to Jummah Salah. Oh, Allah Azza wa Jal will seal their hearts and they will be amongst the negligent people.
Allahu Akbar.
So we should close our shops, you know, close our business. If you're in a taxi, park up and go to the masjid and read our Salah. Inshallah, you'll see the blessings of this. Then afterwards, go back to your workplace and carry on doing work. But at Jummah time, especially on Fridays, we should facilitate for our staff to go and read Jummah Salah as well.
Mashallah.
It's not all about money. As I said, the risk is guaranteed for you.
True.
Yeah? Run after it as much as you want. You'll get whatever is destined for you. More you run doesn't mean the more you'll get. Whatever is destined, whether you run at 100 miles an hour or 10 miles an hour, it's been destined for you. You'll get that thing. So we should facilitate prayers and salah for our workers. And if we are employees of somebody, we should ensure before we even take on a job that we are taking on such a job that we've asked in the interview that I'm a Muslim. I pray, maybe twice, maximum 3 times you have to pray during work hours. Fajr and Isha, normally not. Maybe you might, in very short days, you might get 3. How long does one salah take? Wuzu, maximum will take you 10 minutes, if that, to read your salah. It's very rare that somebody will say you can't have a 10 minute break. You're an employee. So you tell them first, I'm a Muslim, I pray salah, roughly at these times I'll need a break. Or if you have to, say, okay, I finish at 5:30. Instead of 5:30, I'll finish at 6 o'clock. I'll work half an hour extra. But I want these 10-minute breaks for my salah. Nobody will say, no, I'm not going to give it to you. They say, yes, why not?
Okay, as we beautifully said, those they want to do, they find ways. And those they don't want to do, they find excuses. So we need to find out where do we fall. Respective views of Madani Sharon, that's all for today. Alhamdulillah, we've talked about the severe consequences for a missing salah. I hope, inshallah, you must have learned a lot from this program. And you will offer salah, inshallah, regularly. You will not miss salah. I make this intention, inshallah, I will offer salah regularly and I will not miss salah. We all should make this intention. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and ability to offer 5 daily prayers for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and may we do not miss a single salah deliberately. Ameen, bijahin, nabil, ameen. Keep watching Madani channel. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Sins take you away from Allah. Salah takes you back to Allah. Leave the sins, perform your salah. Salah is the gift of Mi'raj. Salah is the gift of Mi'raj.